Australian cyclone specialist Professor Jonathan Knott has now headed out into the field to gather data on Cyclone Debbie. The Professor of Geoscience at James Cook University is also a member of the International Society for the Prevention and Mitigation of Natural Hazards. And he says he's frustrated that despite the damage caused by natural disasters like this, Australian policymakers are not making decisions about where to build homes based on the available data about the risks. Professor Knott spoke to me from Bowen. Professor Knott, thanks for joining the world today again.
Pleasure.
Now, when we spoke yesterday, you were sheltering in your home in Townsville. Now you're in Bowen, near where Cyclone Debbie crossed the coast. Why have you headed there now?
One of the things that I do is I do post-impact surveys. So I like to get out into the field as quickly as possible to be able to assess the impact to the natural environment. And we get a lot of information and really important data doing that.
So what are you seeing so far?
I'm seeing a lot of human impact damage, so damage to power lines, trees down, signs bent down, some minor structural damage with tin being blown off and shade sails and things like that. So we just have to navigate around all that sort of stuff first before we can get into the good stuff, into the natural environment.
How hard was the drive down?
There's a few minor flooded creeks in places, but they're fairly negotiable. They're not dangerous if you're in a four-wheel drive.
And from what you're seeing, how does it compare to Cyclone Yasi?
Yasi was a stronger cyclone, most definitely. Even immediately, one can see the damage to the forests and compare that with Yasi. And Yasi really stripped the forests just south of Cairns, you know, basically back to bare stumps in many locations. Whereas here, we're seeing partial stripping of the trees, bark, mainly on one side, not complete defoliation of the trees. So that gives us an indication straight away of the wind speeds associated with Cyclone Debbie versus Cyclone Yasi.
You say that you're there to really look at the natural environment. What elements of it are you looking at?
I'm specifically interested in the coast, and I'm interested in the responsive beaches, how eroded the beaches become, how eroded the coast is, and how high the inundation was during the event. So we look at that, and we look at the sedimentary deposits and other material that was pushed up there by the storm tide and the waves on top of that storm tide, and we use that to help calibrate our understanding of the very recent geological record of these events, which we gather and get a long-term history of tropical cyclones from.
Are you seeing anything yet that's surprising you?
No, not yet. In and around Bowen, there wasn't too much of an inundation. We're going to need to get in a bit further down the coast when that area is accessible. So in and around the Whitsundays and possibly down around Mackay. They were on the southern side of the cyclone, so we would expect a much greater inundation on the southern side, whereas Bowen was just on the northern side of the cyclone. So there you won't get as much of an inundation.
And do you have any data yet on the wind speeds or the travel speed of that cyclone, which, as you were saying at the time, is quite slow moving?
Well, I already know that in Bowen, people were basically sheltering in their homes for about 24 hours. Strong winds started to come through at around about 11 o'clock and particularly between about 12 and two yesterday, when it was described as being somewhat ferocious. That's when the power lines and trees, etc., were coming down. But basically, people are just coming out of their homes now to be able to have a look. So they were sheltering there for really close to 24 hours.
And that's a long time for a cyclone?
Yes. Some cyclones move a lot faster. Yasi moved a lot faster, for example. So people didn't have to shelter for quite as long. The longer the cyclone's hanging around, the higher the number of gusts that houses are going to have to endure.
Now, you were very concerned yesterday when we spoke about the storm surge. That wasn't as severe as expected. What sort of damage can you see from it?
Not a lot in Bowen so far. I think around Mackay and a bit further south from the Whitsundays, we're going to see some potential minor inundation and impact to infrastructure and housing.
But nowhere near as damaging as you expected?
No, well, I didn't expect it to be as big as Yasi, put it that way. It all depended also on the tide. They were getting some strong winds associated with the high tides, but I don't think we're going to see anything like we saw in Yasi, where whole houses, you know, along the whole length of street were washed away and swept off into the hinterland bush.
What do you think are the key things that we can learn from a disaster like this?
One of the things that we do really, really well is we are able to prepare communities for disasters once the disaster is, or once the event is known about, such as a tropical cyclone. And during times like this, we are exceptionally well prepared for dealing with the post-event situation, so emergency services and police and fire and rescue, etc., they all do a really, really tremendous job. One of the things that we're not good at is planning for these sorts of disasters. We still continue to put housing developments in the impact zones. And we also don't build houses to be able to withstand storm surges and water loading. So there is absolutely no building regulations for that sort of thing. And we also continue to allow construction of suburbs and tourist developments in areas that are going to continue to be repeatedly impacted by tropical cyclones, particularly the storm surge, storm tide and the waves.
Why do you think we don't have better building codes? Is it a lack of information?
No, I don't think it's a lack of information at all. First of all, we have excellent building codes for wind, and we've had those in for decades now. And that's one of the reasons why our homes are continuing to be able to withstand these severe wind situations. We don't have any sort of engineering guidelines for marine inundations at all, probably because we haven't had any really dramatic disasters. You know, no major centres like Cairns and Townsville have had really large inundations destroy whole suburbs. So I know people are thinking about, you know, introducing building standards for water loading, but that's yet to occur. On the other side of the coin, when we're talking about planning, well, we've got lots of information about that, but there is no real desire to put people in truly safe situations to be able to deal with this increasing intensity of tropical cyclones and the size of inundations. Many of the planners do recognise the danger, and often I've spoken to planners and they've suggested that certain areas shouldn't be located as close to the beach as they are. But when it comes to actually making decisions, the consent authorities usually allow these sorts of things to go ahead. The economic benefits are seen to outweigh the risks, and that's basically what it's all about.
Do you see an event like this, the damage from Cyclone Debbie, actually changing that balance?
No, I don't. Generally, these sorts of events are thought to be rare and beyond the necessity to have to deal with these things from an economic perspective in terms of long-term planning. We're very, very poor at that sort of thing, and it's something that I wish would change. My research has shown that the intensity of these events is going to increase in the future, and we should expect more of these sorts of impacts to occur. We've been lobbying for this for many, many years now, and basically we're ignored.
Professor Knott, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure.
That's Professor Jonathan Knott from James Cook University. He's already out gathering data on Cyclone Debbie. He was speaking to me from Bowen.